It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio, coming to you live this afternoon from Farragut. The Top 4 at 4, John Tyler, brought to you this afternoon by MyBookie. Get your bets in for the weekend, folks. MyBookie.ag. MyBookie, bet, win, get paid. John Tyler, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Hello,
doing
John.
Well. How are things back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios?
Hayden and I are hanging out here with the Cody McClure.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised the station is even still standing at this point.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John. What do you got?
All right. Number one, the Tennessee men's basketball team hits the road for a Saturday afternoon matchup with number 13, Auburn. Tip-off inside Auburn Arena is slated for noon Eastern on CBS. A victory on Saturday would give the Vols their third victory over an opponent ranked inside the AP Top 25 and would be Tennessee's first true road win over a ranked team since February 6th of 2018 when the Vols took down number 24 Kentucky inside Rupp Arena. This would be the 50th regular season SEC victory under head coach Rick Barnes. Tennessee leads its all-time series with Auburn 78-41, dating all the way back to 1927. The Tigers have a 28-23 edge when the series is played in Auburn.
What are our other two top 25 wins?
This year?
Yeah.
VCU?
VCU at the time.
Washington?
Yep,
Washington.
At the time.
Oh, it's at the time.
At the time.
Are either of those teams ranked now?
Don't think so.
So we don't have any quality win. Like, we don't have any really good wins to hang
out. That's why Bruce was so excited to get some quad one opportunities. I mean, I'm sorry, Rick.
I mean, it's – yeah. This would be by far our biggest win of the year.
Gotta have it.
Number two, Ray Burrell poured in 15 points in the fourth quarter to pull UT within four in the final minutes, but it wasn't enough to overcome the number 22 Arkansas Razorbacks in Arkansas, and the Lady Vols lost 83-75. Burrell led Tennessee in scoring and points scoring and rebounding with 21 points and 9 boards, narrowly missing a double-double. Renaya Davis was also in double digits, finishing with 18 points and 8 rebounds. The Lady Vols return home, hosting Vandy on Sunday at noon at TBA. You can watch the game on ESPN2.
Boy, Lady Vols kind of limping to the finish line here.
I told you.
Not good.
Good job, Trey.
Thank you.
Frustrating.
The undefeated Tennessee baseball team hits the road for the first time this season to play in the inaugural Round Rock Classic this weekend. The Vols are part of a stacked field that includes number 1 Texas Tech, Houston, and number 8 Stanford. UT will play each team once in the round robin tournament format at Dell Diamond, home of the Houston Astros AAA affiliate. Game 1 is tonight against Texas Tech at 8 p.m., and then tomorrow versus Houston at 3, Sunday versus Stanford at noon. All three of Tennessee's games will be streamed live on flowbaseball.com.
Flowbaseball.com.
That's another way. Yeah.
Is that free?
No.
I think it's not.
$12 a month. $12 a month.
Tony Vitellico, I love you, buddy. But I'm maxed out on all these subscription services, dude. I ain't got $12 a month for Flow Baseball. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro. I'll keep up on Twitter.
The projected starter for tonight for Tennessee is Dallas, not Crochet. So that's disappointing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see, though. It may change.
Going to start – is he – I mean, are they going to start Crochet Sunday? Is he hurt? What's
the
deal
there? Well, he's on the mend. He's got soreness in his arm. This is going back a week ago.
Okay. Well, go ahead and rest him up then.
You rest him up till March.
I choose to believe that's the reason that he's not starting tonight.
Yeah. There's no way Vitello would not if he wasn't, you know, resting up.
We played the number one team in the country tonight, boys. Giddy up.
Yeah.
Go.
It's a big game. You can listen live on utsports.com, though. You can listen to the game live with John Wilkerson. Number four, former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher has been announced as a 2020 Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame inductee. Deserving?
Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, the bar is considerably lower. He did take the Tennessee Titans to the Super Bowl. You know?
He did. Yeah. he's been a stable point in the city of Nashville and the state of Tennessee. He's done good for high school football around there, and
he brought the NFL. You know, he was part of the he was the head coach of the NFL franchise here for the first 10 seasons or so,
right,
in the state. Yeah, he's I think he's Hall of Fame now. You know, obviously he's not going to the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's in the any other Hall of Fame, but this is probably the biggest honor he's likely to achieve.
It was neat. I saw the announcement today and how my former boss, Brad Willis, handled it. It was pretty cool. Good for him. Good for him.
That's it. That's four.
Thank you, John Tyler, the
Thank
top
you.
Four of four. You're welcome. Yeah, brought to you by our friends at MyBookie. Let's bring in Christopher Smith from MyBookie. Without further ado, Christopher, good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Hey, guys. We had some technical difficulties. We're going to get Chris on here in just a second.
Okay. Now, Trey?
Yeah, what's up, man? You know what I'm ready for this weekend when it comes to betting? Two things. The big fight Saturday night and the NASCAR race on Sunday. You don't seem impressed.
No,
I can't bet on the XFL. I don't. I got a team.
I would hope not, Trey. Like,
and I don't know how Tennessee's going to respond. I don't want to bet on a game that I cover. So,
why not? Is that like some sort of ethical boundary?
No, I just don't want to be rooting for Tennessee or Auburn. You know,
why not?
I just don't.
Why, like, root for Tennessee? You live in Tennessee. You grew up a Tennessee fan, right? Yeah,
wow.
What's wrong with that? All those guys over there. This is what drives me crazy about these.
I'm not going homerism.
I mean, you don't have to be you can root for a team. You can have a rooting interest without being a homer.
I do. My South Alabama Jaguars won last night. They've won five in a row. That's my school, anyways.
Okay, but you can be a homer for them.
Oh, absolutely. Covering them.
Listen, you can root for Tennessee and not be a homer, and I guarantee you. 90% of the guys on that beat root for Tennessee. They say they don't, but they're lying about it,
yeah.
Man. You don't cover a team every day. Like,
I know two outlets that just put it out there that they go for Tennessee.
I mean, like, I don't understand why that's some. I never understood that, even when I was, you know.
Because I don't want my objectivity to be like I'm favoring Tennessee. Is the best way I could put it.
Why not? Why can't you be a fan of a team and be objective?
We can talk about this later. We got Christopher from my bookie.
Do you think I'm objective? I'm a Tennessee fan.
I get that. Give me some time to answer that question, please.
All right. Let's get Christopher in here. Christopher Smith, my bookie, joining us on the phone this afternoon. Hello, Christopher. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I promise I'll be as objective as possible.
Well, you have to be when I would certainly recommend – being completely objective when it comes to placing a friendly wager. That's the only way to do it. And Christopher, as we look forward this weekend, what's caught your eye as far as betting opportunities over at MyBookie?
Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier in the week about the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder heavyweight title fight. And I've looked a little bit closer at the actual odds since then. Right now, Wilder is -130, the favorite to win. But I think it's pretty clear either Wilder is going to win by a knockout or Tyson Fury is going to win by a decision. And we actually have a prop up right now where, you know, Tyson Fury's odds to win are +100. But if you bet on Tyson Fury to win by decision, it's actually +175. So, to me, if I thought Tyson Fury was going to win, I think that's a really good number because I think that's how he would win. And you're getting, you know, up close, pretty close to 2-1 on your money back if that's what happens. So I may actually have to throw a little bit down there just to kind of hedge my Deontay Wilder bet.
Answer me this, and maybe either you guys. Has Wilder ever been knocked down?
Did
Fury knock him down? I think Fury knocked him down.
It was kind of a slip. It was kind of a slip.
Okay.
No, he's definitely been knocked down, but like he's never been down. Like, oh, is he actually going to beat the count? You know.
Yeah. No, he's never fought. I mean, he fought.
He fought Ruiz. He fought Ortiz. He didn't fight Ruiz. He fought Ortiz. He fought Tyson Fury already. He's fought.
Romain Stivern twice.
Yep. He fought Steve. Yep. Dang it. There was one other big fight that he had. I mean, I can name off a couple names.
33 professional fights, and one of those, of course, was the first fight against Fury.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him box four times now, in person, in the state of Alabama, and it's just amazing to see his punching power. So, Christopher, I know what I'm looking forward to this week, and I'm looking forward to finally having big-time boxing, in a heavyweight matchup, because Anthony Joshua and Ruiz, that didn't do anything for me the second time around, because I knew Joshua was going to come out, dance around, and try not to get, knocked out again. But I will ask you this, do you think it's better to bet on like a prop when a knockout, when a round happens, how many knockouts are in the fight compared to, hey, who's just going to win? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, we have stuff, and, like, if you're looking for a big return and you want to try to predict which fighter wins and in which round do they win in, that's not something I would do personally, but you can get a huge return from that. I mean, Deontay Wilder winning in the 12th round, which is the last round, is plus 3,300. So you can get a good return on that. Personally, like I mentioned earlier with the Fury by decision, I would pick out the fighter that you like, whether it's Wilder or Fury, and then try to get better odds on that through a prop than you can through the basic money line. Like Wilder, for example, if you think he's going to win by knockout, that's plus 125. That's a much better return than if you just bet on Wilder minus 130 to win the fight outright. So that's probably how I would approach it.
We got some SEC hoops coming up this weekend. I know folks here in East Tennessee are going to be looking at the Tennessee-Auburn game. In your opinion, the way Auburn can score, and at times the way Tennessee's had struggles to score, is this a game where you just kind of go with the money line here and who you think the favorite, or do you try to hit the over-under or, point score?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Auburn has not lost at home this season, and they only lost at home twice last year, and one of those was to a decent Kentucky team. And we all know what their style of play is now, but if you look at their numbers in SEC play, like in conference games only, they're shooting 26.9% from the three-point line, which is by far worst in the SEC. So Tennessee is pretty good at defense, and there's not a whole lot separating in Auburn, which is, I think, 35th in KenPom, and Tennessee, which is 62nd. That seems like a big gap in terms of the number, but in college basketball, the difference between 35 and 60 this year is very minimal. So I think, Auburn will probably Auburn will be a favorite, and deservedly so, just because of how good they've been at home. But I think, the Auburn scoring a ton, I don't know if I fully buy that, especially in this matchup and especially the way they've been shooting the three-point shot. So I might look at the under in this game, because I think Auburn's defense has been pretty good as well.
Last thing for me, bud, you touching anything on the XFL this weekend, or are you going to kind of let that go? Or do you have a team eye that maybe you have a feel of now?
Yeah, there's a couple of XFL things that I'm looking at, and I think just from a general standpoint, I think the best team is the DC Defenders, and I will probably be betting on them this weekend, even though they're, I think, 7.5-point favorite now against Los Angeles. And I think the worst team in the league is the New York Guardians. They actually got shut out last week, I believe, and it's just a mess, and they're on the road. And I might look at the under in that game. It's 42.5, I believe, just because I don't think their offense can score more than like 10 points in a game. And so, but I think there's actually a huge gap between like the best and worst XFL teams. So none of the spreads have been double digits yet, or maybe one of them barely has, but I still think there's value just because the spreads are pretty tight, and yet the gap between the best and the worst is actually pretty big right now.
Christopher, appreciate your time, my man. Thanks for jumping on with us. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Christopher Smith making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200.
I'm going to make some money this weekend.
Your number to get on the show. What are your bets?
My bet is going to be Deontay Wilder in the seventh round knockout. That's what I'm going with. I hope Fury lights him up. What?
I hope Tyson Fury lights him up. You heard me.
Why? You want a Brit? You want a Gypsy King Brit to come in here and take the title from an American?
First of all, that's very insensitive to the traveler community.
He calls himself that. Okay. How's that insensitive? He calls himself the Gypsy King.
Hey, man, a lot of people in this will call themselves insensitive names. You don't get to do that. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay. When he says it at a press conference, I am the big time Gypsy King. How's that mean? Okay, whatever.
I'm just saying.
I get it. I understand it. But when he calls himself
I'm highly offended. I'm highly offended. First of all,
whatever. Deontay Wilder.
Second of all, that's what everybody thought the first time.
How can you be un-American?
Going
for a Brit.
Easy. He's a Bammer. I hope he gets knocked on his rear end.
Because he's from Birmingham, and he always gives a shout out. Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, yeah. Stand
I hope
up.
He gets knocked on his keister.
I'm proud that he's an Alabamian.
Oh, I'm glad. I hope he gets lit up like a Christmas
I
tree.
I hope he rails Tyson Fury into tomorrow. I hope it doesn't go past seven. I hope, because that's the prop bet that I put out.
I mean, you're...
How can you not cheer for an American heavyweight?
Because I'm not
that's
a man.
Like, that's like you rooting for Lennox Lewis over Evander Holyfield.
I did root for Lennox Lewis over Evander Holyfield.
You're such a boxing disgrace. I don't know. How do you do this?
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy.
Did you root for the other guy to kill Mel Gibson in The Patriot? Huh? Is that what side you're on here?
No.
Okay, then.
Man, that's war. This is sports.
It's going to be a war.
I root for the individual, not the country. I don't wrap myself.
Don't try to music me out, studio, and I got a Brit over here next to me.
Whatever. Hey, man. All good things in this country descended from... of British influence. I mean, when you really think about it.
In the words of Rocky Balboa, my ring's outside.
Stay with us. You don't want this smoke, Trey Wallace. The drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
I've had enough.
The drive is back on Fan Run Radio. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smokin' Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Oh. All right, Smokin' Hot Question this afternoon here on The Drive. Coming up here in the next coming week, sometime before spring practice, we expect Philip Fulmer to announce a contract extension and raise for Jeremy Pruitt. Now, what's going to be interesting, in my opinion, is the buyout language on this, both ways, in terms of if somebody wants to hire him away in the future or if we want to part ways with Jeremy Pruitt sometime in the future. Your hot question this afternoon, what is the most likely way Jeremy Pruitt's time at Tennessee ends? And I don't mean this in any sort of negative fashion. So don't you hear me, Twitter, don't get your panties in a wad. But all good things come to an end. All things end, period. Nobody coaches anywhere for 50 years, right? So you tell me what's most likely. That Jeremy Pruitt is fired here at Tennessee. That he is hired away by Alabama. That he is hired away by another school, or that he stays at Tennessee for the rest of his coaching career. It's a hard one.
That's a lot.
It's a hard one. I mean, if there's another option in there, I mean, that's it, right? Like, there's nothing. I mean, God forbid he passes away or something, but I mean, that would be the rest of his coaching
career. Let's not go down that road.
I don't know. I mean, well, I'm just trying to figure out, like,
I think it should be two choices, but that's just me. That's just me.
What would the two choices be?
Are we going to be paying this buyout, or is another school going to be paying this buyout?
Well, so he's fired or hired away by another school.
Yes.
You don't think there's any way that he stays at Tennessee for the rest of his career? 20 years, he's our coach, and then he retires at the age of 64 or whatever.
Okay, you can put number three, he stays. Okay, I agree. Okay. I see where you're going with that.
Well,
I think another school ends up paying his buyout.
You think he's so successful here that somebody comes and hires him away?
Yes.
Which, I mean, the reason I put Bama in there, like, where else is he going to go? The only types of – he's not going to leave here to go to
He's North not going Carolina. To the NFL.
Well, yeah, he doesn't strike me as NFL guy. No. But he's also not going to take a lateral move or step down. He's not going to North Carolina.
To me, it's Alabama or bust. He won't.
Maybe Florida State. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, he wouldn't go to Auburn.
Texas.
Would he? Like Texas. Yeah, okay. Like maybe a job like that.
Right.
Maybe he gets really successful and somebody just throws stupid money
at
him.
Is Jeremy Pruitt Catholic?
That we can't match. I don't think so.
I was going to say Notre Dame in there, but I just didn't know.
I'll be honest. I think, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but I'm just playing the law of averages here.
Yeah.
I think it's most likely that we fire him. I hope that's not what happens.
Maybe 15 years from now, after he's won a couple SEC championships, a national title, then he puts up a couple 4-8 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, you really think – so?
I think he goes to another school.
Alabama?
Yes. He wants that Bama job.
Well, I mean –
if it comes open, he would want it. Right.
He's dyed-in-the-wool Bammer. Like, exactly. I get that. That's fine. Hey, I hope that happens.
Right.
That's not necessarily a bad thing for Tennessee. It's better than us having to fire him.
Exactly. If you're a Tennessee fan, you want Alabama calling in 4 or 5 years. That's, you know, you're going to have a couple Atlanta appearances, maybe a CFP appearance.
Yeah.
What's
going to be interesting is say he goes 8-4 this year, 9-3 the year after, but he just can't get any better. We just cannot get over the hump. He can't beat Saban. He can't, you know, if he doesn't go any better than 9-3, like, I don't think Bama's coming after him. If he's at 9-3 here in 3 or 4 years
with a title game appearance, SEC title game appearance.
I don't know that. I mean,
9-3 gets you to an SEC title game.
Maybe. If Georgia really stinks, Georgia and Florida both really stink.
Yeah, but Georgia's shown in the last 2 years that they'll drop two games in the conference.
Okay, if they drop two games and we drop three, they're going.
Well, no, they drop a couple of games. I mean,
do you see that happening under Kirby Smart anytime soon?
Yeah.
You see Georgia losing three or more games under Kirby Smart?
Yes. I predicted them to lose three games last year.
They didn't.
They lost two.
That's what I'm saying.
I was one off. Give me a break.
Well, that's kind of critical when we're talking about whether or not Tennessee's going to go to the SEC championship.
Okay, here's my thoughts on Georgia as we get before spring practice. I think their time has passed for them to win a national championship. I think they had their 4-year window and they blew it. They blew it. Look at all that talent Georgia had in the last 4 years, man.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt and you're hoping to get that Bama job,
yeah,
I think you got to do better than 9-3. Now maybe. Maybe they go to Dabo first, and he turns them down.
I got another one for you. They're going to go to Kirby. It's going to be between Kirby, and it's going to be between Jeremy for that Alabama job.
Okay, well, if that job opened, and maybe Dabo turns him down, and maybe Kirby turns him down because Kirby's a Georgia guy, and he doesn't want to move. Maybe, and maybe Pruitt is the third choice, and I guess that could happen, but
I'm starting to get a feeling that Dabo might not want to go to Bama.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Build your legacy.
I could definitely see that, yeah. I mean, who needs all that pressure? Stay in the ACC, go 10-2 at worst.
Who wants to follow Saban?
Yeah. 865-546-8200. Your smoking hot question is brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, where it's Customer Appreciation Day. Stop by Rickard Ridge, get yourself a free order of cobbler this afternoon / evening at Rickard Ridge Barbecue there in beautiful Cove Lake State Park. And they've been a longtime sponsor of our show. Great locally owned and operated business. Caraville. It takes a minute to drive up there, maybe about 20-25 minutes from downtown Knoxville, but it is well worth the ride and the extra time you're going to invest because, first of all, as I said, you're supporting this radio show, this radio station, Fan Run Radio, but also you're going to get a barbecue experience that's just not available anywhere else. And I'm talking Memphis style. Mark Rickard honed his skills in Memphis, and nobody smokes like Rickard Ridge Barbecue. It's such a distinct flavor, and everything they do, from their ribs to their chicken thighs to their pulled pork, it is so delicious.
That sounds good.
Get up there today, get yourself a free piece of cherry or peach cobbler for Customer Appreciation Day. Again, they're in Caraville, up I-75, exit 134, and you'll see Cove Lake State Park right there from the interstate. You can't miss it. It's the first left after you get off the interstate for Rickard Ridge Barbecue. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get Aaron Torres in here. We'll get his thoughts on today's smoking hot question, as well as a couple of college basketball topics. Big one for the Vols tomorrow, taking on Bruce Pearl and Auburn on the road. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell and Trey live this afternoon, National RX in Farragut, where we're broadcasting from. Come on out and ask about the Enander Professional CBD products. 15% off for Fan Run listeners for the rest of the month. You check them out here, 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in West Knoxville. Aaron Torres joins us on the show this afternoon. AT, good afternoon. How are we?
I'm good, fellas. How we doing?
Hey, man, we're doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this afternoon. Would love to get your thoughts. I want to ask about tomorrow, an opportunity for Tennessee to get what would be by far its best win of the season and maybe play itself back onto the bubble here late. But first, I want to get your thoughts on a football topic we've been kicking around here on the show today. Okay. And Tennessee is expected to announce a slight raise and a slight extension for Jeremy Pruitt here in the coming weeks. And we are having a friendly debate here on the show, as we often do, about, you know, how it ends. What's more likely, in your opinion, that Jeremy Pruitt ends up getting hired away from Tennessee by another school, or that Tennessee ends up firing Jeremy Pruitt and paying him big buyout money like Butch Jones?
Guys, it's so funny you bring this up, because I don't remember what offseason it was, but the first time that I really had an opinion on this topic was when Butch Jones got an extension, I think it was in like April. You guys might remember. It was like April or May. Like, it was well after the season ended. It was well after the coaching cycle ended. And so it's one where I see both sides, right? So to directly answer your question, Russ, I think more realistically, it's that Jeremy Pruitt's going to get fired, because the bottom line is guys don't leave really good jobs for great jobs. This isn't 2009 with Lane Kiffin, where I remember looking this up at the time. I think his buyout was like $1 million. It's nothing like that now. And so I just don't see the scenario where Jeremy Pruitt's so good that one of the five schools that's a definitive better job than Tennessee is simply going to outbid Tennessee to get him. And so what ends up happening is, it's exactly what you said, is it puts these schools in this impossible situation. And part of it is, I get it. I get it's part of playing the game. But guys, I also will say it from this perspective, and I don't know if I'd have the guts to say it to Jimmy Sexton's face if I was Phil Fulmer and he was sitting in front of me. But why, you know, by giving him an extension, by definition, like, he's doing what is expected of him. Like, to win seven games at Tennessee, well, I know recent history hasn't been kind to Tennessee. That should be expected. I don't want to discredit what Jeremy Pruitt did, but I also don't understand this concept that we have to reward him as if he just won a national championship. And that doesn't just go for Jeremy Pruitt. It goes for, you know, whoever, Gus Malzahn, you know, I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head because a bunch of coaches got fired this year, like Chad Morris and, you know, Matt Luke and everybody. But, like, it's like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you know, I don't know. And so, to directly answer your question, Russ, I think it's more likely he gets fired. I understand this is kind of the cost of doing business in major college football, but it's like, I don't get this concept that you have to give a guy an extension just because he met or exceeded expectations.
I completely agree, Aaron. And, you know, Fulmer is in it's a tough spot for an athletics director because on the one hand, you know, you're hoping for the best. This is your guy that you brought in here, and you would love to have to win a bidding war to keep him with Alabama because that means that, you know, he's succeeded beyond your wildest imagination. But on the other hand, you don't want to tie yourself into this guy and, you know, give him this huge buyout money and ultimately end up in another situation like you are currently with Butch Jones, where you're paying him not to coach, basically,
well,
somewhere and down the road.
No, I don't mean to cut you off. It's really funny that this topic comes up, and it has no direct parallel to anything at Tennessee, but with John Beilein getting fired by the Cleveland Cavaliers this week, there's been all sorts of conversations about what college basketball program he could end up with. And so I'll just give you a crazy example. So Wake Forest is probably about to fire Danny Manning as their head coach. He has a fully guaranteed contract, and because it's a private school, nobody knows exactly how much he makes. A fully guaranteed contract until the end of the 2024-2025 season, which means they are going to have to pay him for 5 years worth of non-coaching. And as a matter of fact, don't know if you guys know who the athletic director is down there. Some guy named John Curry got hired in like February of last year. And the only reason Danny Manning didn't get fired last year was because they didn't want to pay. They wanted to get 1 year removed from having to pay such a massive buyout. And so it's a perfect example. Butch Jones is a great example. There are a million great examples of what happens when this goes wrong. And again, yes, if we're talking about, you know, Dabo Sweeney, or I'll give you a better example. We're talking about Jim Harbaugh, and, you know, everybody's talking about going to the NFL and recruits aren't coming to play because they think he's going to leave for the NFL. Or if you have, you know, Coach K or Jim Boeheim that's 70 years old and everybody's recruiting against them saying they're going to retire in a year or two, then yeah, you extend out their contract so those type of issues go away. But when you go 7-6 or whatever Jeremy Pruitt went, and I know it was an excellent season. I know the second half of the season, they were phenomenal. They won a ton of big games, but it's like, man, like, this is kind of what you're supposed to be doing. As you're at Tennessee, you're supposed to make a bowl game. I'm not discrediting what he did, but that's kind of your job. I don't get it. I do get it, but I don't get it. And like you said, Russ, I do feel terrible for these ADs that are kind of put in the middle.
Well, yeah, it's like Konzo too. Remember Konzo's contract where he can't be fired in the next 2 years after making an NCAA tournament?
If you're a fan and you're sitting back and saying, you know, this is ridiculous, it's out of control, to me, it's just another reason to where, and I'm not huge, you know, oh, the players are being exploited guy. I think you guys know that, but they do deserve a bigger slice of the pie than they're currently getting.
Agreed.
And when that happens, as it's obviously going to here in the next couple of years, you know, they're not going to be able to tie themselves into these coaches as much because, you know, that money is going to have to be given to the labor at some point, which should help, I would think, you know, even out the disparity.
Yeah, but you look at these contracts, Aaron, and even look what D'Antonio did, man. D'Antonio took a $4.3 million buyout. 2 weeks later, he's gone out the door. This stuff is it's almost getting out of control, Aaron.
Well, it is. And listen, you know, I will say, like, everyone's getting smarter, right? And, like, you can look up the number. But, like, when Lane Kiffin left for USC, it was because he had a buyout of, like, $1 million or $800,000 or something. It was just stupid. It was absurd. And the concept was, well, who the heck is going to leave Tennessee? How many jobs are actually better? So the ADs are getting smarter, but the agents are getting smarter, and the coaches are getting smarter. But I also just think, like, what it comes down to for me, and this is where all sports are like this, right? Like I mean, think about, you know, obviously me hosting the radio show on Fox Sports Radio, I talk about everything. And think about, you know, an NBA guy. This is something that drives me crazy. And it's all over sports. But an NBA guy signs a five-year contract and a year and a half in says, you know what? I don't really like where this thing is going. I'm demanding a trade. And it's like, wait, what? You signed on to be the face of this franchise, you know, almost like a marriage through thickness and thin, death do us part, whatever. Like, you signed on for 5 years, and a year and a half later, things aren't going well, and you want to be traded. But, oh, by the way, you're getting paid all along in this process. And it's the same with these coaching salaries of, like, you know, so you just went 7-6, and, like we're not saying you didn't do a good job. We're not saying that you're not happy, but to lop on an extra year to a 6-year contract or whatever, like I don't know. It's just one of these things where so many of these things in sports are kind of out of whack, and I don't even know where I was going with that NBA analogy, but there's just so many things that just make no sense, and it's just kind of like that's the way it's done. But like I said, if your coach isn't 70 years old and you're not getting negative recruited against, if you don't have a guy that might go to the NFL and you're not getting negative recruited against, I'm not saying that Jeremy Pruitt didn't do a good job. I'm just saying, like, this is kind of your expectation. I guess that was my point with the NBA thing, is like, nowhere else in any walks of life can we just come to our job and be average to slightly above average, and somebody just, you know, adds on some kind of, you know, bonus to our contract. That's not how it works in any other walk of life. I guess that's the point I was trying to make. It's just absolutely insane.
Well, you made the point, and I think it's extravagant, and the way things have turned it into, it's going to be interesting over the next 3 to 4 years, especially when the players start getting involved. Move over down to Auburn, Alabama. Tennessee heading down to the Plains, play the Tigers tomorrow, 12 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock in the morning your time, so have a good morning of basketball. But looking at this matchup and what Tennessee's trying to do, do you feel that there's an opportunity, especially with the way Auburn's playing right now, for Tennessee to go down there and at least make it a game and give them an opportunity in the second half to keep this thing close? Or is Auburn's shooting capabilities on the outside too much for the Vols tomorrow?
No, I think it's a weird spot, because in theory it's a good spot. Because Auburn's not playing well. In theory, it's a bad spot because they're going home after being on the road for a week. But listen, you know, I think with Auburn, and something that I've kind of hammered home in a lot of the stuff that I've done this week, is, you know, it's an incredible testament to Bruce Pearl that they go 22-4 last year, or they go to the Final Four last year, and they're 22-4 this year. But you look at about their last 10 or 11 games, they're 7-4 overall, 2-4 on the road, and two of the wins they got at home were in overtime. So I think there's really about a 4 or 5 week sample size of them being fine, but not like this incredible juggernaut. And so I do think it's a place where Tennessee can go in and compete. I don't know if they will. You're going to get the best version of Auburn coming off two straight losses. But yeah, I think it is, because I just think that Auburn probably, listen, again, not to discredit Bruce Pearl, you go 22-4 in what was supposed to be a rebuilding year, but I think that the last 2, 3, 4 weeks is really more reflective of who they are than the first, you know, 2 months of the season, where I could be mistaken, but I don't believe they played a true road game in the entire out of conference. And I think they played one Power Five team, which was, like, you know, right at the end of December. And so I just don't think that they're probably quite as good as their record indicates. And so by definition, I think it's a good spot for Tennessee to go in and at least compete and maybe have a chance to pull off an upset.
Hey, Aaron, last thing for you. We'll let you run, man. What are you hearing on the NCAA investigation front as far as what could be in the works for after the season with the likes of Kansas, LSU, Arizona, maybe a couple of other schools that were embroiled in the whole, agent slash pay for play fiasco?
Yeah, it's wild, Russ, because, you know, everybody wants answers, and you know, you guys have been doing this long enough to know that the levers of NCAA justice, they take a while to get turning here. You know, all I'd really say is what's crazy about this specifically is every school is a little bit different, right? And so, first of all, a bunch of schools haven't even gotten the notice of allegations yet. And for people who don't know, notice of allegations means the NCAA investigates you. They tell you what you did wrong. You then have a window to appeal it. They have a window to look at your appeal, and then they come back with the final verdict. And so I only bring all this up because some schools haven't even gotten that notice of allegations yet, which is the beginning of the process. Some, like Kansas, got it like 6 months ago now. But what's really crazy about it, Russ, is that every deal is just so different because, you know, you look at a place like Louisville, you know, the day that stuff comes out, they fire Rick Pitino, they fire the AD. So literally nobody that was there when all this stuff went down is still at the school. And so how do you warrant punishing them? I'm not saying they won't get punished. I just don't know how the NCAA is going to do it. You know, you look at Auburn, Arizona, fired the assistant coach, but the head coach is still there. Is their head coach culpability like they're supposed to be? NC State is more in the window of Louisville, where basically everybody involved is gone. And so, again, it's just one of those deals where every one of these places is a little bit different. But, man, I'll tell you this, guys. I get this question basically every week. Where are we at? How far along are we? When is the hammer going to come down? I don't know how significant that hammer is going to be, and I really do think every school is going to be a little bit different, which is, by the way, it's going to drive people insane when that actually happens, but every circumstance is a little bit different. It's just going to be fascinating to see it all unfold, and I would expect some of this stuff to start coming down here probably towards the end of basketball season into the summer.
He is Aaron Torres, Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him this weekend with the stinking genius.
Always listen, Saturday
Arnie
nights,
Spanier.
Man.
It's going to be fantastic. Aaron, have a great weekend.
All right, guys. I appreciate you guys having me. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, yeah, buddy.
Aaron Torres making his presence felt. Trey, what did you learn?
I don't know. The coaches' contracts are getting a bit out of whack. Agents are
I don't know if they're out of whack.
Maybe it's the wrong word. But
no, they're out of whack.
Some of them are.
All of them are, man. There's no reason for a gym teacher to be making $4 million a year.
I think Nick Saban is worth the money that he gets because of the money that they bring into the program.
Here's my thing. I understand people listening to this going, why are you giving Jeremy Pruitt a raise? He lost to Georgia State. He went 7-5. He should have done better. It wasn't a great season. Where's he going to go? I get that. But if you're Philip Fulmer and you're playing the long game, and maybe Fulmer's thinking, well, yeah, we lost to Georgia State BYU, but I know we're better than we got our record wasn't 9-3, but we've got a 9-3 caliber football team. I think Pruitt's doing well. I think we're getting better. I want to make sure he's happy now. I don't want to tell him, oh, Jeremy, go 9-3 this year, and then we'll give you the raise you want, for him to harbor a grudge. And then he does go 9-3, and maybe 10-2 the next year. And the first chance he gets, hey, y'all didn't love me back in 2019, 2020. I'm out of here. He wants to keep him happy now. Like, I do get that part of it.
I know we're going to break. You also pay him because the head coach of the University of Missouri does not need to be making more than the head coach of the University of Tennessee.
I do think it should matter. Why?
Because of the amount of money that the university.
I don't care what they do with their money.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look that Eli Drinkwitz is making more than Jeremy Pruitt.
To who?
To Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, then you get back to my point. It's like, do you want to please him now or do you want to please him later?
There's a
stay with us.
Knife.
The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, back with more.
Zone.
Radio, the Drive continues live from National Law Rex. Today's Rick Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot question: what's most likely to happen with Jeremy Pruitt in the future? Over almost 300 votes cast now on Twitter at Fox Sports Knox. If you want to vote online, 34% of the audience living in their hopes I suppose they say he's going to stay at Tennessee for the rest of his career. The next highest vote getter is 25% saying that he'll be hired by another school. 23% say Tennessee will fire him at some point. And then 18% will be say he'll be hired away by Alabama. I'm with Aaron Torres, and I'm not going negative. I'm just playing the percentages. Like, the law of averages says he gets fired at some point. That doesn't even necessarily mean he's bad. Philip Fulmer got fired. Was Philip Fulmer a failure as Tennessee's football coach? No, of course not.
No.
So he was a rousing success. But even rousing successes sometimes get fired.
You'd probably take the same results that Fulmer got in his last 5 years. You'd take them right now any day of the week.
Yeah, because he went to two SEC championships.
Exactly. And beat some pretty damn good teams.
It was just a weird time, man.
Yeah,
it's hard
time.
To
more
it's
teams
hard to,
come up now. Yeah, no, yeah, I get it.
The first year, 2018, should be the last losing season of Jeremy Pruitt's career. Like, he's here.
Yeah.
And the next time he has a losing – if he has another losing season, especially if it happens in the next 2 or 3 years, he'll get fired. He probably deserves it.
You really think so? If he pops out next year and has a
– if he went 5-7 next year, I mean, think about that, dude. Like, God, I hope it doesn't happen.
He'd be on the hottest of seats in the world.
Can you imagine 5-7 next year.
Riding JG all the way.
That means you have lost to some pretty bad football teams somewhere along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't see that happening from a long stretch.
That might be burning it all down to – neither do I, but that would be just absolutely awful. All right, that is going to do it. Hour number 2. Stay with us. Hour number 3 coming up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.